Samurai Jack, no more swordsman.
Okay. Paprika, no more children's characters.
Like from Blue's Clues?
Yes.
Let's see. Dio Brando, no more time powers.
Frank Reynolds, no more old men.
Hillary Clinton, no more wives.
Bob Dylan, no more folk music.
Gucci, no more podcast hosts.
Cotton Squad.
You're out.
Womp womp.
I'm Cotton Squab, and I'm joined as always by
Miss Luger, Poochie.
Welcome back to Raised Online for Life, the Rawful Podcast, a show that aims to explore the relationship that individuals have with the internet and its impact on their lives. So this week, first let me ask, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty okay. Had a dog with a lot of tummy troubles, we'll say, that kept me late at work today, but that's all said done. Puppy's okay, and I am at my computer. Life's good.
Nothing worse than a poopy puppy. That's good to hear. I always love when somebody says they're pretty okay, because it's one of those things that there's a word for it, but it's when an adjective by definition can't have like a degree or like a magnitude associated with it. It's like when somebody says they're very pregnant or something is very unique. It's like the unique already means that it's as different as it can be.
Well, I'm pretty okay.
Well, that's very okay that you're pretty okay. I'm doing all right. Let's see what interesting has happened today. If I had a dime for every time that I heard Skibbity or Sigma.
God, I'm so sorry.
I could retire at 35. I swear to God.
Should we start a GoFundMe for you?
I guess.
This is sad.
It's so bad.
You're in the trenches.
I truly am. It's so bad.
Do you mess with them though? Like you turn it on their head, right?
Well, I do, and I'll come up to them and I'll say, that's not very Sigma of you, and I'll say like, Chat, this guy's cooked or whatever.
You should pull some millennial cringe on them too, just to really like confuse them.
I do a little bit, but it's
hit him with a YOLO.
YOLO. I dab on them. They don't like.
Oh my god, that's so fucking funny, dude.
But it's gotten so bad that like. Skibbity is like a vocal stem for me.
Oh no.
I was monitoring a bathroom in a hallway today, and the Song of Storms popped into my head.
No.
Unfortunately.
I hate where you're going with this. I literally loathe it.
Skibbity? Skibbity?
No.
Skibbity, Ohio God.
No. What did Ohio ever do other than suck?
Rizzler, Phantom Tax, Brain Rot to the max.
I hate how much of this language has roots in like 4chan or shit.
Yeah.
I want to die.
I would be a rich man if Skibbity deposited money into my bank account, but I don't think that's going to happen. We are here today to talk to you about art, but not just art, fan art.
Ooh.
Do you remember there was a relatively short-lived meme on Tumblr where people would say that something was like snail blank and then
yes.
Snart.
I like still say that shit. I'm sorry.
I think about it, and then that kind of overlapped with there was snake versions of stuff too, but the two meme formats were like inverted, if I remember correctly. Somebody would say like that's a snail pencil or a snitzel, but then with the snake one they would say that's a snowbot, a snake robot.
Yeah.
So the version of that for fan art would be fart.
That's so true.
So true.
So true, bestie, as the kids say.
I know it's an audio format, but I just did the, you know, that gif of Kermit the Frog and Christian Bale, like, nodding politely at each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I just did. So fan art is kind of a big deal. I don't want to be one of those people that randomly pulls numbers out of the air, but I'd say that a substantial part of the internet that is used by your everyday person is saturated with fan art of some form or another. Do you think that that's accurate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Redbubble. Anyone ever go on Redbubble? It's literally just all kinds of bootleg-ass fan art.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's absolutely true. Do you have a particular piece of fan art or fan artist that you follow that is somebody that you really like or whatever?
Mouse moment, sorry. So Lamb's Mane on Tumblr, LAMBSMAIN. I think they did some animation for Sandman on Netflix. So that's pretty cool. It's a huge achievement. And it's just like, wow, that's my Tumblr mutual person that draws the little guys from my shows. So that was really cool to find out.
Oh, that's cool as shit. Yeah. I follow a couple people on Instagram, and I'm sure that they exist other places too. I just don't use X, formerly Twitter, much anymore. Funny Hoo Hoo Man does a lot of like Mario fan art, and I find that appealing. And then Diggity Dingus also does a lot of Mario Nintendo style stuff, which I find appealing because that has influenced my style a lot too. I'm friends with somebody on Tumblr that they do some fan art, and I think that's probably why I followed them in the first place, but now they are getting their original comic published, which is cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Their username is Nuntune. Some places I think it's Nuntune Bunny, and their comic is The Lucky Cat Scouts, I believe.
Awesome. I'll check it out for sure.
Very cool. So I want to say this too. There is a piece of fan art that I saw a couple of years ago that really made an impact on me, but the person's username was like in kanji or in some Japanese characters. It might have been katakana, I don't know. But it was this really detailed render. It was a digital painting, but it was like a very detailed render of SpongeBob and Squidward, and like the focus was like from the perspective of the canvas. And Squidward was wearing his little beret that he wears when he's in art mode. And SpongeBob was like sitting on a stool as his model. And so it was this very like, it's this interaction you don't really see between those two characters that I thought was very sweet. And I'd like to find that piece of art again because I can't find it. But I don't know what other details to give somebody to help me find that, because it was a little bit ago. So that'd be interesting to find again. And I think that is like a good encapsulation of the appeal of fan art, is that it can show moments like that we don't really see in canon. Not necessarily just SpongeBob, obviously.
No, but that's definitely the appeal across the board. Like, the fandoms are enormous, and it's like a trading cards almost with how art goes around.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Have you ever made any fan art?
Yes, I have. I've done some like video game fan art and some Our Flag Means Death fan art, which at the end of that show was less than favorable, but you know, season one's pretty good.
Yeah, season one is some of the best TV that I've ever seen. Remarkably funny. I am a little bit of a fan artist myself, and I do a lot of pixel art, though. I think probably some of my earliest art was fan art. I think when I was first discovering my illustrative style over a decade ago at this point, that a lot of my references were like the First Doctor, and I drew some like Earthbound characters and some Pixar characters. I mean, it was the basis for a lot of the art skills that I still have. I'd say that's true for probably a lot of people that do art digitally online today, is that's probably how they got their start. I'm not going to make any sweeping statements about that either, but I'd say there's a pretty good chance that that's true.
I think it's definitely true. Like, I remember I had a bamboo pen and touch tablet as a like middle schooler. I actually used that tablet for like 15 years. It only recently died. But yeah, I would use that on my tiny little netbook, and I would draw, like, I don't know, fan art of whatever show I was watching that week.
Yeah, that's a relatable experience. I did pretty much the same thing, but mine wasn't the bamboo. That's bamboo is made by Wacom, right?
Yes.
I had the Intuos, but yes, nice. similar experience. To expand on that a little bit, art is a nebulously defined thing that can at different times mean pretty much anything that humans make. And I think that fan art is a broad enough term that it could reasonably apply to any of those definitions of art. Like architecture can be fan art. There was that sweepstakes they did where they remade the Simpsons house. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
It was like a real thing, and you could argue that that's not fan art because Fox or whoever made that. And this is part of where the discussion becomes a little bit semantically tricky between what is canon and what is not, or, you know, whatever, because like whoever actually like made that house is not the owner of the IP. That's an artist that was hired. Maybe this conversation's not worth having, but my point being, more specifically than any other definition of art, we're talking about visual media. So videos, we're talking about videos and images, and a little bit of audio too, I guess. That was another early piece of fan art that I did, was I have two episodes of a Night Vale fan cast that exist out there on the internet somewhere.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was, geez Louise, that was like 8-ish years ago. But no, we are focusing more on visual arts. So I know that you have formal art education, and so I think that you are more experienced to talk about art history at length. But it's kind of impossible to talk about art at all without talking about fan art.
I mean, that's what's like so much art history is, right? Like religious art is just like Bible blurbos.
But yeah, Bible blurbos, and
like, why is God so fucking ripped, right? Like, hello, what are you doing there, bud? I mean, but he is like jacked.
And on the eighth day was leg day. Yeah, religious art has historically been a big part of what we consider quote unquote real art. The point that we're trying to make here is that there's no meaningful distinction between art and fan art, because any of the artists that had turtles named after them, most of their big stuff was Bible art. Michelangelo, Leonardo, Raphael, the other one. they had Jesus prints, and even before that, Gilgamesh and Beowulf and stuff like that. So stories got turned into paintings, and that was kind of the only alternative at the time to art that was intended to directly mirror reality, like cave paintings, if you want to go to that point in art history, or still lifes or anything like that, or even like the Mona Lisa is like a depiction of reality. So portraits is the word I was looking for. Your alternative was to pick a story that you've heard or read or whatever and draw about it.
Yeah, very much so.
Even beloved franchises that persist, like Star Wars, is fan art. Did you know that?
I feel like I've heard this before, but I don't know like the fine deets.
So if I'm remembering this correctly, and there's a chance that a detail that I say is going to be incorrect enough for the wrong person to get angry about.
Source, just trust me, bro.
Right. Originally, when George Lucas wanted to make Star Wars, what he set out to make was a Flash Gordon remake. And he either didn't get the license for it or something changed, and he basically stood a little to the left, and we ended up with Star Wars.
Huh.
So I think that in relation to the internet, that's what our show is about, a lot of my personal early experience with what you would consider fan art is like AMVs on YouTube. So this would have been like my middle school days. And a lot of the stuff that I watched is probably not the same as the AMVs that a lot of other people watched, which were, I think, largely about anime. because I watched basically machinimas of Super Mario 64, and the music was often Scatman's World.
That's fascinating. I don't really know much about this world.
Well, that's a peek inside my mind. I think that you had an example of this kind of thing. Somebody's homemade, their homebrew anime?
Yeah, so the anime was this homebrew thing made by some... I think they were middle schoolers when it started. And the person who did all the art was... her name is Stick Freaks. I think she's still active on Twitter. X. Whoops. So yeah, I mean, I think she's still going around to cons and at least, you know, making art still. And that's impressive to still do that as an adult.
I completely agree. People that have just stuck with it through the long haul, that's truly impressive. I mean, according to their YouTube page, there was a Fairy Foxes episode uploaded as recently as 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been going forever. Do you see the upload date on that first one? 16 years ago.
Holy shit.
Yeah, she's a YouTube OG.
So, imagine being a fan of this and you've been waiting 16 years and you've only got 14 episodes to show for.
Well, she had to like go to college and have a life.
Well, you can almost imagine what it was like to be an Earthbound fan. It's been 30 years that we got 3 games.
It's been 84 years.
But no, yeah, stuff like that is awesome. I do remember also, and I'm realizing now that a lot of my examples are very Mario-centric, and I guess that just says something about me. But
that's real though. I think Mario 64 is my most played game hours wise. Like it has to be.
I would say that my most played game, I mean, it's probably Minecraft, but if it's not Minecraft, the three top contenders would be Minecraft, Sonic Adventure 2, and RuneScape. One of those three games is definitely the game I've played the most. So akin to your Fairy Foxes, which was a completely original anime that somebody made, but you can tell that this person gained a lot of inspiration from the likes of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Definitely Sonic Heads.
Maybe something like Neopets. But I'd say that Sonic's influence on fan art cannot be overstated. Like, so much Sonic the Hedgehog fan art exists out there. And it's like that thing. I've seen a post about Sonic the Hedgehog fan art where some of the characters, one of them is baptizing a baby, but the baptism is with Sprite. And the comment just says, "Why is it always Sonic?" Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Oh, geez.
I feel like an old man.
It's... Okay, so it's not Sprite. It's Crystal Pepsi. But here's the image.
Oh! Yeah, I've seen this.
So, yeah, YouTube was a place that was ripe for the pickings when it comes to fan art. And that pathway branched out to accommodate things like YouTube Poops, which are a derivative art form. I shuddered to say art form, but it is, where it's usually clips from a cartoon or video game and they are played out of sequence or backwards or changed in some way to add an additional context that makes them funny in a way that they weren't already. And do you know of a website called You're the Man Now Dog, shortened to YTMND?
I am vaguely familiar with some of the memes that have kind of escaped containment.
So YTMND is a super old website that I think it's 2001, but it's basically all of the content there is derivative in some sort. It's usually like a GIF or just a still image paired with some piece of looping audio. And it's literally the entire format of the site. Most of the content on the site is derivative in some way, which I think falls under the umbrella of fan art. It's combining an existing intellectual property in a new way to say something different than the original.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So no discussion of fan art would be complete without talking about many digital artists' original stomping grounds, which is DeviantArt. You could argue that Newgrounds was kind of the same thing. There are probably a lot of artists that got their start there instead. I think that widely it is accepted that Newgrounds was easier to get traction with original content than DeviantArt. At least that's my perception of it. That's my experience. That might not be universal.
Yeah, DeviantArt, it was weird because there were kind of circles that people ran in for sure. And some of them were super normal and supportive of like young artists and gave, you know, like tips on how to use a tablet and like shit like that. And then some of them would be like, wow, you're so fucking bad at art. And I'm like, I'm 14.
Yeah, I think that is to validate that. Yeah, that's definitely true of DeviantArt. But I do think that dynamic exists in some capacity on pretty much every website. And it's a very difficult thing to deal with. And it seems magnified in a place like DeviantArt, where a lot of young artists are posting their art, sometimes for the first time publicly. And to have the complete random chance, the roll of the dice, to have positive or negative feedback, that can be very challenging. And so it's an act of bravery for an artist to get that kind of thing and then persist anyway. So yeah, I mean, I've just pulled up my old DeviantArt here, and besides One Piece, not the anime, everything is fan art. Looking through my old favorites, everything there is fan art. This is like fan art central, and it's maybe not so much the same anymore. I think that proper social media is giving a lot of younger artists the space that previously DeviantArt found itself to be. Further, for a period of time, DeviantArt, I think, was used as a derogatory statement. I think a lot of people had the notion that a lot of what went on there was like fetish art, usually of My Little Pony, which was an inexplicable thing that did happen. It probably still happens. But I think it was a little unfair to brush the entire platform under the rug because that existed here, because stuff like that exists almost everywhere. If you want to discount DeviantArt at this point, it's would be a more apt route to talk shit about how they scoop up all your art that you make and use it to train AI. And now, literally looking at their homepage, there is a AI art button, which I'm not super okay with.
I'm like not okay with that, certainly. I'm certainly not like anti-AI either, but you know, if you can train things in a consensual manner, that would be great. Which, just be careful when you're reading terms of service is my advice to everybody.
Yeah, especially with the recent news about the Disney Plus thing. I'm not going to get into that too much, but it is a frightening world out there. So talking a little bit about Newgrounds leads me to my next place, which is there are in the last, let's say, 5 years, maybe more, there have been a lot of artists who their first name for themselves that is available online is as a fan artist of some sort. And that profile, that art still exists. But now those people have kept with it and put in the legwork that now they are published or otherwise professional artists. The reason that Newgrounds made me think of that was that one of the big examples is like Ego Raptor from Newgrounds did a lot of animation, flash animation back in the day. We talked about flash animation a little bit last episode, and now he is one half of the Game Grumps. So he's not the only example of that either. There's Chris O'Neill, who was Oni Plays and did like Leo and Satan back in the day. And now he works on Smiling Friends for Cartoon Network, Adult Swim. There's Toby Fox, who his earliest work was like Earthbound ROM Hacks and then went on to make Undertale. Rebecca Sugar, her earliest internet stuff was self-insert Invader Zim art and then some spicy fan art of Ed, Edd n Eddy. And then she went on to make Steven Universe. There's Tyson Hess, who I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, originally did the, there's a webcomic called Nipples the Echidna instead. Oh, that might not be the title of the comic, but it's Knuckles from Sonic redrawn to, instead of having spiky knuckles on his fists, he's got nipples, and it's funny. And I think that they got hired by one of the Sonic comics groups. I don't remember if it was the Archie or the IDW line. And then eventually went on to help redesign the Sonic for the movie. There's RJ Palmer, who a lot of their early work was redesigning Pokemon as if they were realistic, and some other like kaiju stuff, which is really fucking cool. And then they got to help with some of the concept art for Detective Pikachu, which I think they're making a second one. Did you watch the first Detective Pikachu?
I actually haven't. I probably should.
I avoided watching it for a long time because I was a little hater-ass hipster, but I did eventually watch it, and I really enjoyed it. I won't say too much about it, both to spare you and any potential listeners that would like to see it that haven't seen it, but it was fun. It was pretty good. There's Ska Tunes Network. I don't know their real name, but YouTuber that makes ska covers of pop culture songs and then has made some music for Cartoon Network, like actual Cartoon Network. There's Matthew Patrick, who was the internet game theory guy and then was in the FNAF movie, which FNAF in itself, I mean, I guess that's not fan art because, you know, FNAF was an original idea, but it is an indie project that went so commercial.
It's so interesting how, like, the shift from becoming known went from being like a featured on a reality TV show to just like being an internet guy. That shift's really like wild. Like, I don't know, you go from like American Idol stars to like just guys being dudes.
Oh yeah. And even within the like micro history of that being a viable quote unquote career option, just the style of it has really changed, because back in the day of being a YouTuber or internet celebrity, you were generally somebody who made a viral thing, and then that got published on like broadcast television, like Ellen or somewhere like that. And I think we talked about that in the last episode too. And then that was it. Or you were somebody like the Yodel Kid, you know, that you yodeled in Walmart once, and then like people knew who you were. And that does still happen, unfortunately, like with the Hawk Tua girl who can't escape paparazzi now just from like a street interview. But it went, I don't know, things are very different, which I guess is kind of a truism and pointless to say, but it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, things have evolved at like Mach 5,
right? And with like an unpredictable sort of trajectory. Another example of, well, okay, I guess I want to distinguish this conversation between talking about somebody who switched gears with original art, because I guess that's kind of what you would consider for FNAF. Because I was going to bring up somebody like Filthy Frank, who switched gears and became Joji and saw like critical success that way, or like Good Mythical Morning, who their original stuff was like deliberately making viral videos like Chuck Testa, and now they're just like internet guys, you know what I mean? But that's not really fan art. That's something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a satirical commentary in a way.
I mean, sort of. I guess it's like, for those three examples, it's like you were making something that you didn't expect to get popular, and then it did anyway, and now it's your job, question mark. I don't know. There's something to be said about it, and it's got a lot of the same fingerprints as fan artists who grew up to be like professional artists, but it's distinctly different from what we're talking about. There's also people like Beto, who was a Newgrounds animator artist that has made Punch Punch Forever. That's one I didn't know about until recently. And similar ballpark is Tomohiro, who made One Punch Man, which was a webcomic and then is animated by Crunchyroll or distributed on Crunchyroll. I don't know how that works. But yeah, that's, you know, somebody who took their webcomic that was an independent production, and then it's now professional media. And even beyond the idea of like internet fan artists, there are more examples of this out in the world. Like, for example, I'm always going to take an opportunity to ham-fistedly cram my special interest, Doctor Who, into a lot of things. But Peter Capaldi, who played the 12th Doctor, was somebody who watched Doctor Who growing up. And that's true for David Tennant, the 10th Doctor and 14th Doctor as well. And then, you know, they got to be a part of the franchise that was their inspiration. And I think that that's cool as shit.
Yeah, it's really wild. Like, the ultimate dream, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, to be a part of the thing that inspired you originally is, like, unimaginable. This might be a separate conversation entirely, but it's something that I've been thinking a lot about recently. But it feels like there was a shift in the way that media was made, even just in the last 15 years, because it feels like with a lot of modern stuff, you can kind of point to it and say, like, oh, this person created that. You know, you can point to Steven Universe and say, like, these are Rebecca Sugar's characters that she thought of and developed and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then to a certain point, there was a writer's room or whatever. But like the core cast, those are her OCs. And that's true of, like, The Simpsons, I guess, is, like, an older example.
The Simpsons has got crazy origins.
Right, yeah, The Simpsons is a whole other thing. But my point here is, like, there, up until recently, products, like, entertainment was a product that was not necessarily made by an individual. Like, discounting the, like, Disney stuff that was directly adapted from a pre-existing story. Like, thinking about something like any of the Pixar stuff is, like, those are original characters, but they're not some, I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this, but they're developed by a group of people who intended to make a movie. They weren't like, I have an idea for a story, it would be cool if that became a TV show. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does.
Or like Halo, for example, is like that. John Halo didn't sit down and say, there must be a game. It was Microsoft and Bungie and whoever was like, we need a shooter for our platform. And that's what we landed on.
The world demanded an arcade shooter, and the world got one, and another, and another.
And five more. And then the same five, but differenter.
So in I don't remember when Halo Reach came out, but I had a download code for it for my Xbox 360. And it took 3 days to download with my bunk ass internet.
I love Halo Reach. To me, Halo Reach is the ultimate.
I'm booty at shooters, so I didn't get very far.
I'm the kind of person that if I spend like a week or two fucking around in a shooter, I can get good, but I'm not good. But my point is, like, the way that artists engage with the creation process has become more personal. And that could be a good or bad thing, because I think that it also follows the trend of artists needing to become more generalists over time. Like, an animator in the 40s, 50s, 60s could just be really good at animating one thing, and there would still be an art department for backgrounds, there would still be an art department for writing and for cleanup and for Foley and for music. But then in the mid-aughts, the internet age, the 2010s, you see more and more like, okay, I developed these characters, I designed them, I might have done half the fucking voices, like Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And almost all of the art comes from a singular source, and that's good because it gives you a lot of control over your art, but it's also bad because I don't think I should be expected to know all that shit.
Yeah, it certainly requires a multitude of skills to do stuff like that. And if we're getting into, like, you know, even older animations, all that hand-drawn shit, it's crazy.
Right, yeah. And there's, I always forget the guy's name, but he was a Disney animator and he was very skilled and he could do the head waggle. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and I'm blanking on his name as well. Oh no. But he did a
Milk Call.
Yeah. But what comes to mind specifically is like Baloo and Jungle Book. Like, I know he did that same frame for a lot of different characters, but I think that one's the most iconic in my brain for some reason.
The one that sticks out to me is Tigger. But fair. Yeah, so it's like you've got one dude that is animating one scene or one type of scene for a character and then hands the rest of the scenes off to a junior animator for the more like repetitive, tedious, mechanical animation. And that's not even getting into the overseas animation, like outsourcing.
Yeah.
It's a bleak, bleak world.
It's rough out there for your animators, you know?
Yeah.
Pour one out for him every time you watch anime. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, just Christ. To sum it all up, fan art has existed alongside all art for as long as human history has made art. And that has been a great springboard for a lot of people that use the internet. It's been a good pathway to success for many internet users. It represents a very large percentage of internet use, and I hope that to any of our fan artists out there, just stiff upper lip, and I think you'll see it coming to you because the hard work pays off.
So in my history of graphic design class, I had a professor, and she made the entire class yell "fuck you, pay me" like 40 times during one lecture because she found out like a student, I think it was, you know, accepted way too low of a rate, or she told some anecdotes about herself taking like miserably low rates for sketchy projects, and really was just like, you know, emphasized how you should not get taken advantage of. It's still labor. Don't let anyone write it off as a hobby.
Right. And art, I mean, a lot of labor has unseen training, but I think that art especially suffers from that, is that if you are somebody that can crank out competent art in X amount of hours and your client wants to only pay you for those hours, what people don't understand is that they're not paying you for the 3 hours it took you to make the commission. They're paying you for the 15 years of skills development that it took you to get to the point where you could crank out like a well-designed piece in 3 hours.
Right. Like, I joke that I went to school for crayonology, but really I've spent like way too much money to study and to like literally just tirelessly refine my skills, and it's not just like doodling.
And it's different depending on what your degree's in, but that's kind of what I tell a lot of young people that are talking about what degree they want to do or that mm-hmm. they're stressed about that, is generally speaking, a college degree is less about what title is printed on the piece of paper.
Oh, definitely.
And more about like the fact that you have this means two things. One of which is that you can persist for 4+ years on one goal. And the second thing is that you have the capacity for the type of thinking required to go through the rigmarole necessary to get a college degree. It's basically a learning certificate. So basically my advice for anyone listening is don't sweat the details, but do keep doing the thing that you want to keep doing. You gotta put in the hours. I know that it's the thing that people always say is the 10,000 hours, practice, practice, practice. And I also like acknowledge that that's not super actionable. Find some drawing tutorials. Like we said at the beginning, take your character that you really like and draw the fuck out of him. Draw that 3/4 profile. Like, mm-hmm. do it over and over until you can do it without looking at the reference.
And do things you don't want to do. I know it's annoying, and I literally to this day, hate doing like figure studies, but they will make you better even at drawing cartoons. Promise.
Yes.
And I still do them. So during COVID, my classes went online and we literally watched YouTube videos of like people posing for figure studies. So there's resources out there that are free. You just need a screen. So
for sure.
Do it.
Yes.
Stretch your hands.
We hope you've enjoyed our deep dive into fan art and the world of internet art. I hope that you found some of this productive. If you make fan art, if you have a favorite fan artist, if you have questions, comments, concerns about any of what we talked about today, if you're an OG YTMND user, an OG DeviantArt, Newgrounds user, let us know about that. You can email us at rawfulpodcast@AOL.com. You can catch us on our social media links. Those will be down in the episode description. Make sure you tune in next time where we will be talking to a guest about their internet history. And as always, stay online. Do not touch the grass.
Bye.
Raffle the Podcast is created by and starring Cotton Squab and Poochie. Logo created by Cotton Squab. Intro and outro music is Pookatory and Friends by Kevin McLeod. If you'd like to support us, you can follow our social media by following the links in the episode description. And if you have your own internet stories you'd like to send along, you can share those with us by emailing rawfulpodcast@AOL.com. Thanks, as always, for listening.